This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. And let's go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We spent several weeks or several times together in this chapter with the hope to finish this week, Lord willing. But that is not to be. There were three things that happened through the afternoon. One of them not as long as the other two, but we'll go as far as we can. We might take the whole time to get through what we have here, but I want to pick up in verse 25. The fear of the wicked, as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. And this chapter is basically comparative, and they stand on their own for the most part. And so we see as the whirlwind passes, technology can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing, or a worrisome thing, or all of the above. Depends on what you're doing. You were talking about a tropical cyclone or a hurricane, and we're more in tune with hurricanes here, but the other hemisphere is not so much, more cyclones. And usually a wind speed of at least 70 plus, 74. And oftentimes there's a lot of rain, and of course a lot of wind, and a lot of damage, depending on the severity and the rain. Well, let's do a simulation. So today, not literally, but today a disturbance shows up on the radar off the east west coast of Africa. And so the weathermen pick up on that right away. And a day or two later, it looks like maybe it's moved and they go off of computers because they don't have any idea where that's going to go. And the computers throw four of these spaghetti strings into Central and South Florida. And so it looks like it's going to be a direct hit. And then a few more days go by, the buildup continues, and people start evacuating because they get scared. Now, nothing's happened yet, but they're scared. All right, and so now we don't see any turning yet, and the forecast is that there's going to be lots of power that's going to be taken away, and more people leave. And then a couple of days later, the hurricane turns, and it may not turn dramatically, but it turns, and it hits not where it was anticipated to hit, but somewhere else. And it still does the damage, and it goes through, and 12 to 24 hours later, it marches either up the coast or out to sea. Lots of debris, lot of things down, but it's gone. I mean, it's the day after all of this happens, the sun is out, the wind is blowing, it's not bad at all. I mean, you never think you just experienced all this. And so looking at the verse, as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. So we look at this as the course of the wicked being compared to the course of and the severity of the hurricane. And of course, we're talking about lost people. Through time is likened to the passage of this cyclone over a landmass. So if you are mature chronologically and maybe more than mature chronologically in your age, life passes very quickly. Very quickly. And like the wind during a hurricane. And, you know, it moves around and everything else. So the life of the wicked is like the wind in its, I guess, violence and malice, its movement, and then suddenly is no more. The soul who is righteous, in verse 25, has an everlasting foundation that cannot be moved. Amen. It cannot be dug up. It can't be exploded. Nothing can happen to that. The mountains may be moved, and you know in tribulation they're going to be moved. Revelation chapter 6 and other places. But the standing of the righteous remains unshaken. Right? Hold your place. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And go down here to verse 35. A lot of questions here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, now pay close attention. There are two promises in verse 25. Therefore, when the hope of your heart is fixed on the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, you needn't throw your hands up in doubt and dismay by the fiercest onset of the world, no matter what it delivers to you or its people, through these manifold temptations. You have to rely on what is promised here. As the whirlwind passes, so the wicked no more. I rely on that passage, don't you? More so when you've been around wicked people. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. I don't go around boasting. I go around assured. I go around secure. Confident. People will say, oh, you're boasting. No, I'm not. I'm just quoting what the scripture says. I know where I am in that I was on the first part for a long time. And if I had continued on the first part, I don't even know that I would have lived this long. But God is good. You know, and I came to the place where I trusted Christ as Savior. So, again, contrast. Very black and white, isn't it? I was talking with somebody today, and they were saying a lot of things that used to be black and white are becoming more gray. And I said, well, the black hasn't changed, and the white hasn't changed. So that means something else has changed, or someone else has changed. Because it's not that way. Okay, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. All right, in verse 26, there's the worth and the greatness of little things. As vinegar to the teeth. I'm not a fan of vinegar. I put white vinegar in the air conditioner because they say it'll keep it from getting built up and mold and so forth and stopping up the air handler. I didn't like oil and vinegar on salads. I just didn't like vinegar. I didn't like the taste. It's very acidic and oftentimes causing, I guess, unpleasantness or even pain to the teeth. There's a verse about having your teeth on edge, put on edge. I don't know if this is the same thing, But I think vinegar that's not mixed with a lot of things probably would do that. Smoke, on the other hand, irritates the vessels, the tender vessels in the eyes, and causes them to smart. Sometimes that's not a good word. Causes them not to focus as much. It's an irritant, and it distorts the vision. So both of those are used as with reference, so is the sluggard, to them that sent him. The sluggard, slothful. Sloths are a big deal. Not if they're human. I mean, I've watched the sloth move. It's very difficult to watch it move because it takes so much long. It takes so long for it to move. And suddenly now the sloth is a big item where you go, especially with kids. They like to see the sloth do what? There they are. You can look at a picture and see and get as much movement from a sloth as you do if you're there. I don't quite understand what the deal is, but you know what I'm saying. Now, the slothful, which is the sluggard, means there's a great blemish in a man's character. Now, I've got to give credit here. A blemish may sometimes be on one who is a child of God. That doesn't mean they by nature are always that way, but in some things they might be. So, although we could be slothful in one area, it is not the spot of God's children to be that way. Go back to, or go forward to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Now the sloth, by his nature, by his character, can't move quicker. It's just what he's made of. And so we're taking something that is not natural and trying to mimic that when in fact we shouldn't be doing that at all. So chapter 9, look at verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with thy might. It didn't say, you know, well, evaluate it, sit on it for a month or two, and then maybe give it a little bit of effort. No, do it with everything you have. If your everything you have is not much, it's everything you have. And somebody else may have more of a have. And so they do with what they have. But you at least do that. So slothful is a continuous injury inflicted on other people. Go with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Again, we're talking about the worth and the greatness of little things. We sang the hymn when Sunday night. Much is little if God is in it. Now, what's that referring to? Probably referring to size and attendance. And if God is in a low number or a high number, praise the Lord. He could be in two or three of us. And the two and three of us ought to put as much effort into what we do as if there were 100 or 200. All right, in verse 10, look at Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Not purloining, speaking about servants in verse 9, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. All right, if we are to adorn the doctrine of God, if we're going to do that, we've got to be active. There has to be movement. There has to be motivation. And in most cases, it needs to be toward other people, because we are told to esteem others better than ourselves. This is... Might as well dig it. Christmas time is one of the most selfish times in our calendar year. Everybody is thinking about me. Not Christ, definitely not others, but just me, for the most part. I'm not saying that that's happening with you. Everywhere we're looking, it's everybody's concerned about just me. We've got to be active toward other people. We have to be a discerning people. We have to be grateful. We have to be punctual. I think we have to be early. And I guarantee you, we're not always there. And the more we tend to stay that way, the more really the injury is inflicted on others that are. Because you don't live in a bubble. You live before other people, before the Lord. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, how can you equate that with not being punctual? Or with not being interested or involved in the lives of other people? Or any of the other things that I've just mentioned? Are we of the opinion that there's little sins and big sins? Or are we of the opinion that all sin is bad? All sin is big. All sin brought Christ to the cross. It could have been a small lie. It could have been taking something that didn't belong to you. It could have been anything like that, or it could be, you know, like Hitler and all these others. But there's no little sins. There's no little things in the Christian life that are without great value. So go with me to Luke 16. Let's look over there. I'll take a couple of minutes and stay out of Proverbs 10. Luke chapter 16. And this is the end of the parable of the good steward. Luke chapter 16, and look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. All right? So you can take that word least and you can put little. He that is faithful in little is at least faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Now, I didn't write that. But if we're not careful, we can continue on this road and not even realize what we're doing. And then expect a different result. Sometimes demand, if we're part of the name it and claim it crowd, will demand a different result. And it's just not going to work. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In all likelihood, everything starts off small. Babies start off small. Their learning starts off on a small level. Right? Most everything, this building, when it was built, started off small. Most everything you can think of starts off small. Well, 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then there's a list. And I look at these things as little things. They start small. Lovers of their own selves. Your kids are taught in school. Think only of yourself. You know, follow your heart, nobody else's. Covetous. Have you ever seen children get presents and go from one to another and they've gone through the whole list in 3.5 minutes? And that's it? And then what else? What else? Boasters. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then we go through the rest of the list. I think all of those are little things that have gotten out of control and now are big things. In Sunday school, since Bob hasn't been teaching and I've been doing 1 Corinthians, I said that this last week, because we got into the issue of the dissension that was within the local church at Corinth, that because somebody was of Paul, and so because somebody was of Apollos, and somebody of Cephas, and somebody of Christ, and that wasn't dealt with, the whole rest of the book is because of those things. They could not agree, and they started, and everything was became a mess. But everything started little. And I said, I don't understand why people were of Cephas. He wasn't even in Corinth. So understand, things start little. And there's the worth of little things is great. All right, Proverbs 21. Or 15, I'm sorry, Proverbs 15. And let's look here in verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with therewith. Do we even have that mindset anymore? That, you know, whatever the Lord gives us, that's good, you know, and if it's a lot, great, and if it's not a lot, great. Because better is little with the fear of the Lord than a lot of things with all the contention that comes with it. And probably the best illustration to give, and it's sad because we live in a day where the lottery is being played. Most of the people that have won, undeservedly so, lots of money, are miserable. Absolutely miserable. It's an amazing thing that if you get a lot of money, how many people come after it? The lawyers, the investment people, and all these others, they all want it. They want their hand in this. You even had relatives you didn't know you had. Linda's uncle, cousin, died 4 years ago. And he left his beneficiaries. She was one of 13. So we're not talking about a lot. And all of a sudden, 15 Croatians said, we're all related to him. And so it's been 4 years trying to pick through the legitimate DNA of these people that say that they were relatives of this guy in Croatia. That's horrible. And so you leave it with the Lord. Because is this a true thing? Who wrote this? The man who had everything. And he's saying, wait a minute, it would have been better to have none of this than that for where the way I went. Right. Because the way he went, he puts right in there, and with great treasure and trouble. Can you imagine 700 and 300 and more than that, wives and concubines? You talk about trouble? Wow. All right. All of that leads to verse, we're back here in chapter 10, in verse 27. 27 is also a comparative verse. Stands on its own. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Comparing a righteous group to a wicked group. A righteous group are supposed to have the fear of the Lord, and the unrighteous do not. Remember years ago, way back, they used to have a clothing line, no fear. And I think that got picked up a lot of times among the people of so-called faith. And so there's no fear, but they equated it with the Lord. There's no fear of the Lord. You can't have the fear of the Lord and be doing the things that people are doing today and come away and say, hey, they've got the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord, fear, is mentioned two ways. One is as a like an alarm. It's scary. The fear of the Lord is not that. The fear of the Lord is reverential trust. Great respect. You have to know the difference, because you can look back in the Old Testament and you can see the fear of the Lord coming in, I think, in Samuel, and it's talking about this alarm. It's not talking about reverential trust at all. So the fear of the Lord is a good thing to go on from here before we... Well, actually, it'll cover the whole verse, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So, let's start here in Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. And understand that all of these are statements of fact. Not only fact, but divine fact, and therefore inerrant fact. Job chapter 28. And most of these I'm just going to give you. You don't need to look them up. Job 28, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So we're going to start with that. Fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. I mean, we're looking at Proverbs for wisdom. We looked at Psalms for a sweet spirit. We look at Acts for power. All right, so wisdom is to have the fear of the Lord, to have a reverential trust toward Him. All right, in Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, clean, which means pure. There's nothing purer than the fear of the Lord. There's just nothing that compares to it. In Psalm chapter 24, if you would, I think it's 34, I'm sorry, Psalms 34. And let's look here in verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, watch what happens in 12, 13, and 14. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? The man who fears the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. The fear of the Lord teaches you that. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open upon their cry. All of that has dealings with the fear of the Lord. In Psalm 111, and I believe it's verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And also in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you read later on in chapter 1, you see that the people in verse 29 hated knowledge, and that didn't, because they didn't fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 5, fear of the Lord is to find the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 8, most of these are... we can do this. Proverbs chapter 8, and let's look here in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Measure yourself sometime on how much evil you don't hate, and yet come away with saying, but I fear the Lord. There's a lot of inconsistency, because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Chapter 10, let's look at chapter 10, wrong chapter. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Well, that's where we just were. Now, there's other things that prolong days, right? That's not the only thing. But it is one of the things that prolongeth your day. Chapter 14, in verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. A fountain of life. Okay, the only thing that can be is eternal life. And what is it that allows you to escape the snares of death? The Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior. I no longer have to fear the penalty of death because I'm saved. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Chapter 15, in verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. It's a great book to study. I mean, we're studying Proverbs to get wisdom. What does it say? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. I don't know how we're going to gain wisdom if we don't fear the Lord, if we don't trust Him. Is He untrustworthy or is He trustworthy? He's trustworthy all the time, like He's good all the time, and He's just all the time, and He's righteous all the time. But many times, because of our situations, we back off of this. And really, then we don't become wise, we become foolish. Chapter 16, look at verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Wow, in one place, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In the other part, fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. How can we justify seeing the things that are being done in the name of Jesus Christ that show no fear of the Lord and really the abundance of it being attractive to the evil we see and call it truth? The truth says just the opposite. In chapter 19, let's go to chapter 19. And look at verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. Are you saved and not satisfied that you're saved? Is there something more that you need to being saved than being saved? As a believer living in this world, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it abides satisfied. Somebody told me, let's see, this would be back in 1980, well, almost 40 years ago, that the statistics among married people were staggering. 85% of those that are married are unsatisfied. Now, I don't know where that came from. And I don't think, you know, when you're dealing with anybody, two people that are together for a long period of time, you're gonna have things that you don't agree on. But to say they were dissatisfied, that's troubling, especially 40 years later. I don't know what it's like, but we should be a people that are not only satisfied spiritually but physically. I mean, that's important, not just in marriage, but in everything else. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. The psalmist in chapter 73 said that he had almost fallen because his feet had slipped. Because he was envious of the wicked. They didn't get sick. They didn't have things happen to them that happened to us. And things were so different, and yet they were still brazenly opposed to God and everything else, despite what they said. And he looked at that, and he became envious of that. Okay. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. And let's look at verse 6. The Lord is in verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness and wisdom, and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure, even in the millennium. The fear of the Lord is mentioned. All right, one more. Book of Acts. in the book of Acts. And let's look at chapter 9. Chapter 9. Down here in verse 30. Which when the brethren knew, and you can read up there that when Paul was in Jerusalem, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So not only is it personal, it's for all of us. It's for us as a church to walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord multiplied them. I think these things are critical. The fear of the Lord tend us to life and prolongs your days, whereas those that don't fear the Lord, their lives can be shortened. Is that an exact law? There's a lot of things that interfere with us when you do that, but for the most part, it's true. There are things when it doesn't happen, but that doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. There are other, you know, factors involved with that. Man is man, and oftentimes get in the way of things that are true. We went to a place once that was looking for somebody to pastor, and met with the deacons. And one of the questions that came up was, what is your view toward divorce and remarriage? So I told them. And we were leaving. There was a lot of other questions too. We were leaving on the way home. And Linda said, I thought that really went well, didn't you? And I said, no. She said, why not? I said, because the head deacon was divorced and remarried. And sure enough, there was a message on our phone by the time we got home. He said, thanks, but no thanks. So, you know, there's these are important things in life. And there are no small things. But if you want to consider them small things, then be faithful in them. Really, you see something that needs to be done, do it. Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's here, it's important. We have to get our eye. I think we have these with mirrors. And I'm surprised we don't walk into walls and trip over everything because we're not seeing. And we need to open our eyes and it's a great value in little things. So, worked out all right. I never would have finished tonight anyway. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us, allowing us to get through this section, these few verses. Obviously, there has to be a reason that you did that. And I was fine with it. I would have rather gotten through, but you know better than I do. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to give out your word. I pray that it doesn't stand between someone and myself. I just pray that we are in agreement with your word and we practice it. Nothing is more serious and beneficial and fruitful than to practice the very things we hear and we learn. So I pray you just be with us through the rest of the week. Give us safety as we go to our places and the other things we need to do through the week, and bring us safely again on your day. And we'll thank you for it, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.